Welcome back, everybody, to the Quill and Query podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. As always, I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, Ash. Ash, how are you doing today?
I am cold, but I am good. How are you, Brandon?
I am cold and I am good as well. Also, because we have another special guest, our last interview for the year, so I won't take up too much of her time. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone watching?
Well, hello. My name is Lily Ryan. I am warm here in Texas. I'm sitting upstairs and it's 5,000 degrees up here. I'm like, Jesus, I need to turn on the AC. but I am a debut romantasy author. I just released my first book in November.
Yay!
Very cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Exciting stuff.
Well, yes. We have a fun episode planned for you, Lily. Lots of questions to ask you about your debut, so I hope you came prepared. But before we get into all of that, we like to kind of check in with a little icebreaker question. So tell us a little bit about what are you currently reading, or if you're not reading anything, is there any shows or movies you're watching or games you're playing or anything like that?
I have an hour and a half left of Brimstone by Callie Hart. I'm so close to finishing it. I was listening to it on my way to work, and I was like crying over a damn sword today, and I was like, dang it. And then I had to like do stuff.
This is an audiobook or?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I don't know. I've been a really big audiobook listener as of late. I feel like can be like productive, but also enjoy things at the same time.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I've talked about I listen to audiobooks a lot while I'm working throughout the day because I just sit at a desk. So I like to have some sort of noise in the background because otherwise I'll go insane sometimes. But yeah, big into audiobooks as well.
Yeah, I'm not an audiobook person. But I love that. And Brimstone is the second to Quicksilver, right? Is that the sequel?
It's the second.
Okay, gotcha. I have not read, yes. But I've
heard. I didn't even know that was a series. I thought that was a one-off.
It's like a whole thing. My mom is like hounding me for it because we share an Audible. She's like, I need you to finish this so that I can read. But it's good. It's a fun fantasy. You know, I like it. There's a lot of discourse on it right now, but I like it.
I've heard mixed reviews. Brandon, I fear that you will be a little out of your depth as a non-romantasy guru.
Yeah.
So apologies.
Just a little bit here.
Or it's your segue to branch out.
There we go. Yeah. Dip your toes.
Gotta look on the bright side, all right?
Yeah. Love that.
Cool. Well, hopefully you enjoy the rest of Brimstone. Sounds like you're pretty close to the end there, so must be good so far if you've made it that far.
You know, I'm not hating it, that's for sure. But I think that Anthony Palomi could read me the dictionary and I would be entertained. So,
is that the narrator?
Yeah.
There are some narrators who you're like, I would listen to this person say anything, really. It's just...
Oh, yeah, no. All day. I'm like, just tell me whatever. Read me my grocery list. Maybe I'll actually get all the things I need to do.
Make you remember.
Did you have a question there before I continue?
I was just wondering what you guys were reading.
Oh, I'm not actually currently reading anything at the moment, but I did watch a movie on Netflix the other day called A House of Dynamite. Has anyone seen that one yet? It's
no.
A new Netflix original. Great movie, but I really hated the ending, so your mileage may vary. But it was so good at like building tension and suspense throughout, and then the ending just, I feel like, kind of fumbles all of it. But I don't know, I feel like the journey is still worth it if you haven't seen it. So I don't know, take that as you will, I guess. If you don't like bad endings, maybe set that one out. But if you can deal with that, then.
I've heard, I think my dad was telling me about it. He's like, it's kind of, is this the one where it's like there's a nuclear thing happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently it's like messing with a lot of people in the government space. They're like, "Whoa, this is crazy." So you just watched that. You would recommend, you said?
I recommend if you can like stomach a bad ending, because I feel like the ending is like 10 minutes. So I feel like the rest of the movie, which is like 2 hours long, I still love that. So I don't know. I feel like if you can kind of separate the two a little bit, like enjoy the journey, maybe not so much the destination. It's a good time.
It's kind of like the last season of Game of Thrones. You just kind of forget the end. And then you just.
Treat it like that. Yeah.
We don't talk about it.
You'll go into it knowing that it's going to suck, though, at the end. So.
Dang. Well, good.
What about you, Ash? Reading or watching anything lately?
I am watching Heated Rivalry, and I am reading. I just finished a couple days ago and put my review up on Goodreads for. I got an advance copy for a book called A Beast Slinks Towards Beijing by Alice Evelyn Yang. It was 5 out of 5 stars for me. It was so beautiful, so gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching. It's all about, you know, like family and like the immigrant experience through the lens of the past. It was an absolutely great book. Would recommend once it comes out in January. Now I have to pick what I'm going to read next, and I don't know. So I'm going to pick from my TBR, my growing advanced copy list, and just see what fits. So. But yeah, if you're into queer hockey stuff, Heated Rivalries on HBO is also a 10 out of 10.
Okay, perfect.
Well, I'm glad you've been enjoying things lately. Sounds like...
Yeah. I have a little bit of extra time now, so it works.
Very cool. All right. Well, Lily, you told us a little bit about yourself. You said you are a debut author. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your debut at Kingdom of Silver Shadows?
So I'm really bad at answering this question. I have totally a question. Fine. I wrote my answer, but every time anybody asks me this question, I'm like,
right.
But A Kingdom of Silver Shadows is an Irish mythology inspired romantasy where an unwilling face spy strikes a deal with the human prince in exchange for her freedom. And that's like the best elevator pitch I've come up with. But very I like cool. to describe it as like a dark fantasy with like a sweet romance. You know what I mean? So it's a dark world, but you can like find sweetness in the dark things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who
doesn't I like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So it's would you old. Say like the romance element of it is kind of a bit of a reprieve from the darkness of the rest of the world, or
I would definitely think so. Yes, yeah, okay. It's kind of so like the main character, she is magically bound to like the human tyrant king, and she's basically forced into submission for most of her life. And at this point in the story, you know, we kind of get into that inciting incident where like the world starts to open up, like different possibilities begin to happen, and a little bit of like romance is part of that. And so it's like she's finding out that there are other things in the world that are not like this horrible thing that she's had to deal with for most of her life.
And if you'll forgive me for adding a follow-up that's not on our doc,
that's fine.
did you find it difficult to balance that, like in writing, like were the tones contrasting too much at all, like with you know, the romance elements being a little bit sweeter than maybe the rest of the story? Did you find that a difficult line to tread, or how was it?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because it's just so like dark and heavy that you have to have something to kind of alleviate that. And it's not just like the romance does it either. You know, she, you know, is able to find like friendship and stuff too. But it's just that you just have so much of like a heavy burden on a story that you have to be able to lighten that up. And I think there's just parts of it where it's almost like calling to you, like, hey, we need something like right here, right now kind of thing. That could just be me as a pantser though, that
No, I get it. I was curious about that specifically because I hear, especially in like dark fantasy circles, a lot where people say sometimes this was too dark to the point where it felt that the author thought like we weren't allowed any moments of happiness or, you know, good things happening. And so I was just curious how you kind of found that balance, whether it was too like tricky or if it came kind of naturally with the story.
Yeah, I would definitely say it came kind of naturally. I don't know. I also like to say that my characters write the story. I don't write the story. Mm-hmm. I just tell them what they tell me to do.
We'll take that. Yeah, I feel like that's how a lot of us feel, right?
Yeah. For sure.
Ashley, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah. This question is also not in there, but it will lead into the next question. So tell us how long you have been writing. Is this like your first foray into writing? And then what books or authors would you say have had the biggest influence on you and your writing so far?
So my writing background is a little bit different. I actually wrote a lot of research for like my like profession. So I've done like a lot of like research papers, original research projects and stuff like that. And whenever I was getting my master's degree, I just really liked writing. Like, I don't really care what I was writing. I mean, the research part kind of sucks sometimes because it, you know, kind of takes forever, especially when you're doing it for an assignment. But I've always loved writing. But this is the first creative kind of project that I've taken on, for sure. And it also kind of segues into the question, and that whenever it was like the summer before I finished my master's degree, my workload was so much lighter than what it had been for years that I finally got back into reading again. I watched the first season of Bridgerton on Netflix, and I was obsessed with it. And so I was like, oh my God, these are based off of books. I'm gonna read a book. And it's probably been like, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years since I've read anything that wasn't like a textbook or, you know, something from PubMed or, you know, whatever. And super rigorous stuff, you know, super, super interesting. But I picked up, you know, one of her books, and Julia Quinn has like 44 books written. I read all 44 of them that summer. I love Julia Quinn like so much, so that I was like, I'm gonna write a historical romance book. And I got like maybe like a page down, and I was like, I know nothing about historical romance. Like, I don't need to be doing this. I don't have the resources to do it. I was like, you know, I'm just scrapping that, and I'm gonna continue reading. And then I got turned on to like fantasy books because one of my friends, she's a big reader, and she started giving me recommendations. And then I got into like L.J. Andrews and Daniel L. Jensen, Carissa Broadbent. And I just loved them so much. And I was like, I'm going to write a fantasy novel. That I can kind of make it up as I go.
Yeah, I can make up the history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can make up the history and the world and the places. And nobody can tell me what kind of trees grow anywhere because I say it so.
Oh, that's funny. So,
but love all of them. I think that they, all of them, including Julia Quinn, because I just love her writing. She's so fun. I feel like a lot of them like really just like shaped me into the writer I am today, maybe.
Love that.
Also, shout out for reading 44 books in a single summer. That's quite impressive.
Oh, no, I read like 80 books that summer.
Okay. Oh my God. I stand corrected.
Mad.
When I tell you that I went wild, like I went like insane. But my husband, he's like a gamer. And so games all the time. And I was complaining to one of my friends, and she's like, you just need a hobby is what you need. And so I was like, I'm gonna start reading again. And and he would be like, you want to hang out? I'm like, no, I'm actually in the middle of a really good book right now.
Sometimes my partner and I will do that. He'll be like, I don't really want to watch anything tonight. And I'm like, perfect. You do whatever you want to do. If that's scrolling, that's fine. I will read. And we just like coexist. So.
Yep. Love that.
Well, you said you're a pantser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, big time.
Walk us through a little bit of what a typical writing day looks like for you. Like, what's your process like as a pantser?
It really just depends kind of like where I'm at in the story. If I know like where I'm going with it, then I just kind of keep that ball rolling. If I don't, I typically read like the last like chapter or two, and then I have like a little like notebook and I'll write ideas down in. And then I'll start typing, and those ideas sometimes go out the window, and you know, new ideas kind of pop in, you know, that kind of thing. And I just try to almost keep like the story flowing, if you will.
Okay.
Makes sense. No clear process that makes any kind of sense. So
my process is no process. That's still a valid
yeah,
answer.
It is. Yeah. So what it can you describe, and it's okay if not, because I know this is kind of like an amorphous concept, but like what does the flow feel like for you? Is it like you're just typing away, or the characters have started to like really groove and you're just like letting them do their thing? Like what does a flow state feel like?
I feel like my story is very character driven, and I just kind of like let them kind of guide me where I'm going. You know what I mean? So it just, what happens next makes the most sense in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's, at least I'm always interested in stories that are very like character focused, like the characters kind of push the plot. Because I don't know if Brandon... Oh, I mean, I feel like we do have characters that obviously speak very intensely to us. But mm-hmm. for me, personally, I'm more of like a plotter at this juncture. And I am very like backstory plot heavy and like the plot carrying the characters. And I don't know if Brandon agrees. So it's always interesting to like hear people who are like, oh, no, it's the characters leading this. You know, circus here.
No, I will make up a character's backstory like along the way. Like they'll do something. Like, why did they do that? And I'm like, oh, they did it because of this, and this.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really cool.
I mean, sure, except when you're trying to figure out, you know, what's supposed to happen next. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. So when that happens, do you wait for them? Like, is there a natural rest? You're like, I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm just going to step back and kind of wait for them to speak again. It sounds like they're ghosts, but I'm not trying to make it sound like that. But, you know, like, waiting for the next kind of bout of inspo, or are you a more, like, strict kind of, like, I have to write every day, and even if it's, like, a sentence kind of
I am not an everyday person. I'm definitely, like, I don't have time to write every day. When I do have time, like, I'll try to sit down and write. And really, like, a lot of it is just kind of, like, brainstorming on paper and see what might maybe come up, what maybe might make sense. Mm-hmm. Or just a bunch of really bad ideas that are not going to work. And then I can just throw them away and try to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it just kind of comes out. Like, you know, like, when you're thinking about, like, the answer to a problem and you can't figure out your answer. And then, like, you're in the shower. And you're like, oh my God, like that's the answer. Yes. Like that happens a lot.
No, I totally understand. Mine mostly occur in the car, like when I'm driving places and I'm like going and I'm doing the same route. You know, you just kind of zone out. I'm a good driver, but I zone out. And you're just like, oh wait, there's something. Oh, wait, okay, hold on. And then I like hit record on my notes app and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I can relate for sure.
Wait, are you a, Ash, are you like an audio notes person? You can take notes just talking?
No, I have to type it out.
Okay.
So, but if I'm in the car and like hands free or whatever, I'll hit record and
yeah.
But when I record, it's like to the text, like talk to text versus like an audio thing. I find like when I'm texting a note, like it's like engaging me more, and I'm like, wait. Oh, actually, okay, wait, hold on. And I'm like typing it versus speaking, because sometimes my brain and my mouth don't.
Yeah, I was just curious because there's an author that I really like. He wrote Justice of Kings, Richard Swan, and he uses dictation to write like his drafts sometimes. And I was like, how do you do that?
So you just like walk around the house like with a. I thought actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that might be a really good like exercise. Just like if you're stuck to like verbally talk it out loud versus. Yeah, interesting.
I don't think I could write a whole book out loud, though. I can barely, like, form, like, regular sentences as is.
Yeah.
Yes, us as well.
I feel like that's the kind of thing you can only do when, like, no one else is home, because they're going to hear you having this really weird conversation with yourself in the other
room. I don't need judgment.
That's all right. I know sometimes, too, it's like, if you're not, like, sometimes I'll, like, talk about what hiccup I'm having with my characters or whatever, my plot to my partner, and he'll just be looking at me and be like, I don't know how to help you here. And I'm like, don't. Okay. Well, thanks for listening anyway. So.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue into the next question, which is, what are your favorites and least favorite parts of the process itself?
I always really love editing when I'm drafting, and I always really love drafting when I'm editing. So I always want something different than what I'm
whatever
currently
we're not doing. Currently doing.
Yes. Is that the way of things?
Yes, because I remember editing, and I just remember being like, oh my God, I hate this so much. And now I'm drafting again, and I'm like, I really miss editing. Like, I wish I could go back and do that.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah, I feel that. I recently had to kill my darling, so I had to do some pretty severe, like, cuts to my novel. And I'm currently editing the first, like, 5 chapters that I had of, like, one point of view, because that's just – now it's just a one point of view novel versus the 3 that it was originally. And I'm, like, editing with, like, a literal red pen and, like, just taking things out. And that kind of makes it more fun to me, because I'm, like, I don't know, I feel, like, Trunchbull, like, no, and, you know, just flinging papers around everywhere. But then, yeah, you start to, like, get ideas, and you're like, oh, wait, and you start to itch to draft, and then, you know, it's
I do like printing things out and using the red pen. It is satisfying.
Nice. There is something nice, but I have, like, a whole, like, I do, like, a couple, like, different things. One, I really love the Kobo Libra color, if y'all haven't used that. But I also draft with Google Docs, and you can, like, upload your Google Docs into your e-reader, and then you can make, like, notes, like, directly in your e-reader. You can, like, make notes on the margins and stuff like that. And I don't know. Cool. I found that really cool. Yeah, especially when you're in, like, the first, like, couple drafts, and you know that, like, it's not, like, half of this isn't going to see the light of day. And so I don't want to print it on paper to, like, waste it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also really love, like, printing things out and then, like, seeing, like, the colors and the tabs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I've heard also that people will do, like, the uploading to their Kindle or whatever their e-reader is, dependent, because it actually, like, makes it end up looking like you're reading a book. And I've never utilized that tool, but maybe I will going forward, just to, like, you know, you just read it in a different mindset, I guess. Like, then you're like, I'm not editing, I'm reading a novel. So,
And you kind of see it in a different, like, format, too, you know, like a different kind of thing. So it kind of, like, tricks your brain a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
I did do that a lot for when we were working on Blades for Hire, Ash. I did upload it to my Kindle a lot to read it that way. And it helped me. It does help you catch things more like, wait, I'm reading a book. This doesn't look right.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to do this. I'll have to join the club.
Yeah, I don't think it's terribly difficult to just open documents in your Kindle app, but I don't know if they've changed the process or.
No, I think you can just send to the go online and send to the PDF/EPUB/text or whatever.
Yeah.
At least in the Kindle.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to shift topics a little bit here, Lily. You went with Counterpoise Press to publish your debut. That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. What was the process of working with, like, a small publisher like them for you? Did they come to you? Did you go to them? How did it work for you?
I wish people would come to me. No, they are amazing. I love them so much. I definitely am very happy that I kind of took this route compared to, like, you know, a couple different others that you can take. It's actually really funny because whenever I first started drafting, I was maybe like halfway through my draft, and this was what's the quote from The Office where it's like, I've had this dream since this morning and I'm not giving up on it now. And I I had this dream, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to see this through. And I was following Hannah Parker, who runs Counter Voice on TikTok. And I noticed that she had some like a mentorship kind of thing. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna try that. And I'm going to see, you know, I feel like I need somebody to hold me accountable. And I don't have anybody like in my life right now that can do that for me. So I'm going to reach out to her and see what happens. And so we kind of started working together. I call this book, you know, hers as much as it is mine, because she really helped me out on it. Like the story is so much better than it ever would have been, you know, on my own, because I did not know what I was doing at all whatsoever. And by like the end of it, I was kind of like, would you be interested, you know, in publishing it? I want to start querying, but you know, you've had, you know, a big hand in this. You know, I would like, you know, you to see this through as much as, you know, myself to see it through. And she's like, yeah, I'd be interested, but you know, you have to, you know, apply like everybody else. And she kind of gave me like a little bit of a heart attack before, because she had made like this, you know, like this very big stance on, you know, my mentorship and my publishing house are two different things. Like, it is not a guarantee at all whatsoever. Like, just because you mentor with me does not mean you're going to get published. And if anything, I'm probably not going to pick you because of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like sweating bullets like the entire time. I was like, oh my God, she made this for me. She hates this. This is her out. Like, this is like terrible. But I went ahead and queried anyways. And, you know, of course she said yes and stuff like that. So we kind of like joke about that now. And I was like, you literally like gave me a heart attack, but it's okay.
I like that though. I like a very clear delineation between, you know, the mentor.
I do too.
Like, it's good to yes. be that way and good to say like you don't get preferential treatment just because right. I've been working yes. with you. I think that's
no, absolutely. Yeah. And if she would have been like, yeah, no, you're like, don't even try. Like, I totally would have understood. Like, yeah. okay, I'll just go die in the query trenches alone. It's okay.
So would you have, just kind of a hypothetical, would you have explored the possibility of self-publishing, or did you really want to go through a publishing house?
I have so much respect for people who self-publish. I could never do it myself because I don't know how y'all do it. Like, I really, really don't. Like, people who self-publish, oh my, kudos to you, because you seriously, you've got it all going, and I don't know how you manage those 5,000 things, because I can barely like manage everyday life. You know what I mean? So I definitely would have gone, I still would have gone like the trad route, even though it's, you know, still terrible, but it's okay.
Give it the old good college try before switching
good
gears.
Good college try before, yeah. you know, I'd shut it away, throw it in a closet, don't look at it again for 10 yeah. years. You
know, yeah. Brandon has done all the self-publishing stuff for our anthology, and I was just impressed because I'm kind of in the middle between, you know, both sides of like, I'm going to try for a little bit to query, and if it doesn't work, you know, just go to self-publishing. But I feel at this point Brandon is like a veteran of the self-publishing space after going through the whole anthology situation. And it's hard. You have to be like marketer, and you have to be all of the things, and it's just
you have to get yeah. your editor, you have to yeah. you know, find your cover, you have to pay for it all,
yeah.
you know, you have to have the time to, you know, go in line by line, you have to, you know, do the formatting for mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you the first thing about formatting, and like that stuff just stresses me out.
Formatting is uniquely terrible in that all of the software available to do it are awful, so you have to pick which one's like the least bad for your scenario.
Yeah. I heard really terrible things because I'm friends with a lot of indie authors, and I'm like, you're literally a superhero to me.
Yeah, no, truly.
Formatting is the one aspect I had to hand off to, I mean, obviously the cover art too, because I don't do book covers, but I had to outsource that to Bex, who mm-hmm. we've had on the show, because I tried the formatting myself, and I had her review it, and she was like, you got to fix this,
yeah,
and this. And I
good.
Was like, can you do that for me? Because
yeah.
it took me a long time to do this, and this isn't right. So,
Yeah, it's a, it takes a village almost, you know, like you have to pull your resources and just be like, do you know how to do this? And if so, teach me and or guide me on where to go to learn how to do this. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Well, one follow-up I had for the small press question was, do you have any insight or advice to authors who are kind of seeking out a publishing house or someone to work with? Any insights from the process of working with Counterpoise Press or anything you want to share for authors trying to go that route?
I would say to really do your research, because there are a lot of people who will take advantage of you, especially to publish your novel. A lot of people will ask, you know, that you pay to publish, and that is typically like not how it works. You know, of course there's like hybrid and stuff like that. If that's what you want, that's fine. But like traditionally, like if you are going into traditional publishing, like you should not be paying to publish your book. And if somebody's asking you for money, you need to run the other way. So I don't think there's anything wrong with small presses, of course, because, you know, I'm with the small press, or middle presses. But I just think that, you know, you really have to do your research on them, you know, reach out to other authors that work with that press. Look on Reddit threads. Reddit will tell you a lot about stuff. And so you just kind of have to be wary of the people that don't have your best interest at heart.
Solid advice.
Yeah.
You just get so many spam like accounts too that kind of just like, oh, well, I mean, I'm sure we have all experienced someone being like, we would love to like promote your book. Like, you know, and you're just like, block, bye. But yeah, it's like, you know, I don't think you realize until you step into the space and you start taking writing seriously in with the goal to either self-publish or trad publish or whatever, that there is a slew of people ready to take advantage. You just don't realize that it's as gnarly and devious as it is out there. It's pretty crazy. I just, you go in all hopeful and then you're like, oh, this person is interested. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. You gotta be careful, so. You know, even like, even before I made like a book talk account or any kind of social media branding me as, you know, an author, mm-hmm. I was like, kind of like stalking the process. You know, I would listen to a lot of like Rebecca Thorne. I feel like she's really good at, you know, explaining everything, kind of telling you like what to watch out for. And I, whenever I decided to, you know, pursue, at the time I was kind of debating between self and traditional, but pursue, you know, publishing a book, I went into it already having some kind of knowledge about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. All right.
Did you want to take the next
one? Yeah, I'll take the next question. We touched briefly on tools that you use to write. You mentioned something earlier. I couldn't quite catch it. The pen? Was it like a specific pen that you were mentioning when we were editing? So the question is about tools. Like, what tools are you using? What's in your repertoire? What are we utilizing every day?
Sure. well, good old-fashioned pen and paper.
Excellent.
I'm a simple girl. I use Google Docs to like to draft. Although I've been trying this new one, Ellipsis. I don't know if y'all have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying them out a little bit for like this other like idea that I have. It kind of reminds me of like Readzy, but better. Because I've tried Readzy before for drafting and I didn't really like it because like it's hard to like, I don't know. I feel like I need to see things in a certain way and Readzy is just kind of like clumped together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the same thing. What's the other one that a lot of people use? Scrivener?
I do love Scrivener. I'm kind of a sucker for Scrivener.
I really want to love Scrivener. I'm really jealous of people who love Scrivener because I'm like, it looks amazing, but I can't figure it out.
Yeah. To be clear, I'm not a guru or anything in particular. I just like, this was before Google Docs, you were able to do like the different sections and then the subsections.
Yeah.
So I liked Scrivener for that. And I liked how it like automatically backed up. And I like how I don't know, like the folder movements within your sidebar. And when I'm actually drafting, like just typing and writing, you can like do it in this mode that it's nothing is on your screen except for the page.
Oh, that's kind of
nice. And it's like scrolls as you type, so less distracting. See? Anyway. But yes, it's also, there's a huge learning curve.
Yeah. I want to do Scrivener and I just can't figure it out.
Too much.
It sounds so great when people talk about it. I'm like, this sounds like the most amazing thing ever. Yeah. And then like I went in for like the little free trial that they had. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, I can't get any writing done because I don't know how to do any of this.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Anyway, so ellipses, you're moving, you're trying ellipses.
Yeah, trying it out, seeing, kind of seeing how I like it. I like it. I don't know. I think I just, you know, when you kind of get used to a certain thing and then you're just familiar with it, mm-hmm. and it's just hard to like move into something new. I feel like that's who I am.
Makes sense.
I love when someone comes on and they're very simple with the tools they use, because it makes me feel like I'm not weird for being the same way. I use pretty much exclusively Google Docs. And before they had the sections, I was still using Google Docs. So.
Well, it's just so convenient, especially like if you have like any like critique partners, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. And they can just go in and make comments on stuff, and you can like accept it and get rid of it, you know, like those kinds of things. I just really love that.
Yeah.
Which this ellipsis is supposed to have it, so I don't know.
Yeah. I'm the kind of person that the more features you give me, the less time I'm going to spend writing, and like the more time I'm going to spend playing around with all the other features. So I've very much taken that part of my favorite author, George R. R. Martin, to heart, where it's like he still writes on his old DOSBox computer. I'm not quite that old, so I don't do that, but I imagine I'll be somewhere like that in the next, you know, 40 years. I'll still be writing on Google Docs while everyone else has their very futuristic tool.
Has their Scrivener figured out.
Yeah.
To be clear, guys, I don't have Scrivener figured out. I just, before Google Docs and all the four, like the separation, I was like, this is the, I like it. I like the way I can write on it. Do I understand it? Do I utilize any of the other like notes and binders? No, I don't. But I bought it, so I'm like, I'll use it because
I'm
trying to be utilitarian. But I also still do write a lot with paper as well, so I'm glad to see that's still like a thing people do.
Yeah, I really like writing with paper. I mean, I have one of my friends, she's like literally writing her entire book on paper.
Wow, impressive.
I know, very impressive. And while I like writing on paper, my hand cramps very quickly.
Yes.
So I'm like, yes, let's get the highlights down and we'll put the notes in there.
No, relatable, 100%. I've got like a big book that I like put all of my notes and sticky notes are like stapled in there and all this kind of stuff. And your mind slows down for sure when you're handwriting and more ideas come. So.
I was gonna say, I have like a whole like, and they're literally like sticky notes like in here. Oh yeah, yep. Diagrams of things, because I'm like, I need to know how this looks, and then I'll like do like a poorly drawn thing of it.
Oh yeah,
it works.
Timelines, all that.
Yes.
Well, you told us a little bit about some of your biggest influences and inspirations when it came to like authors and books you've read. Where do you go when you need a creative refresh or to look for new inspiration? Do you have like a certain method of getting inspired, or where, like, I'm struggling to word this last part of the question, but do you get what I'm trying to ask?
I do, yeah.
Okay, I got you. Sorry. It's been a long day.
You know, I don't have any like specific thing that I'll do. Like if I'm in like a writing slump, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to do this, and this, and I'm going to get out of it now. Mm-hmm. I will say I read a lot. And, you know, when you read like a really good book, you're like, oh my God, I have to write right now. Like I love this so much. Like I need to create something. So I say a lot of like my like creative inspiration would, or like creative motivation would come mainly from like books and stuff, because I'm like, I want to create something that's like this good. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like sometimes like if I'm watching like a movie or a show and I'm like kind of looking at it, I'm like, you know, it'd be really cool as if like this were to happen and like in this setting, and you know what I mean? So I don't know, the usual places.
Do you listen to music when you write, and do you find that music plays any part in your inspiration, like for a scene or for like an arc or anything like that?
Yes and no. So I'll listen to like wordless music while I'm drafting so that I can like tunnel vision and focus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know some people have like their like specific like playlists for like fight scenes and like sad moments. I'm like, that's really cool, but like, just give me like whatever and I'll make it happen kind of thing. And then for like editing, like I really like listening to like, I don't know, like sad emo music. I don't know why, but it works.
Yeah. You're getting emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it just works. That or like Kitchen Nightmares. I don't know what it is about Gordon Ramsay like yelling at people, but it really like whips me into shape. I'm like, I got it, Gordon. Yeah. Like, we're doing.
I am an idiot sandwich. And you're like, yes, okay, perfect.
Yeah. You're right.
Yes, I do. Okay. That.
That's awesome. I think that's the first time I've heard someone listens to Kitchen Nightmares while they're editing.
I don't know what it was, but like this one, like I don't know, one of the drafts, like all I could do, like the only thing that would work is Kitchen Nightmares in the background. Like that's it. That's the only thing.
So I was like, if it works, you know.
If it works, don't question it, you know?
Yeah. I was telling Brandon a while ago, whenever I like really need to like hit the ground and like just go, I like for this last anthology, I just watched all three of the extended version of Lord of the Rings in the background. Oh, and yeah. Just like, you know, that fantasy vibe just kind of helps a lot.
That's a really good idea. Because, you know, like there's some parts, and like nobody hate me for saying this, but there's some parts that just get kind of like a little bit of a lull.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
every mountain scene with Sam and it like, Yes. We get it. You're climbing through the mountains. Understood.
Yes, we get it. And now I can like focus on this because I'm not going to pay attention to what's on screen.
Correct. I have like a list of methods that authors have shared with me, like on the show, of what they do when they have like they have to hit a deadline or they have like a creative block. And Ash's Lord of the Rings marathon is at like the top of the list for things I need to try when I get stuck.
Yes.
I'm going to steal it because it's a really good idea.
It's nice. Even if it's just like low in the background, having like the scenery and the robes and the magic and all that kind of stuff, it really just lends itself, especially if you're working in the fantasy space. So yeah.
I really love that. I'm going to steal it.
You're welcome to. And then in the future, when all of us are famous, you can be like, hey, remember Lord of the Rings? Yeah.
Yep. Got it from this really great author. She's a genius. Yeah.
Have you heard of her? Yeah. All right. So have there been any big lessons that you have learned that would change like how you approach publishing going forward or the process itself? I know we asked you like what's kind of like your advice or like things you learned, but is there anything you would change as you work on your next project?
Honestly, I've had it very easy, I feel like. I've had a very smooth process. I've worked with a lot of really great people. And so there's nothing that I would really, you know, change how I went about it. I'm really happy, you know, with how everything went. Now, you know, the other author into stuff that's been kind of a mess, but like the publishing process and stuff like that has been relatively, you know, easy for me. I guess, you know, if somebody's kind of going into it, I would just say, you know, be patient with a lot of stuff, you know, because publishing is slow unless you're self-publishing. Like, just expect to take so long. Yeah. And it is what it is. You know, all good things happen to those who wait. You know, that's just kind of like a little motto that I have learned to develop because I'm not a very patient person, but I'm learning to be. So I feel like that has, you know, a big like lesson that I've kind of taken away from publishing.
Now, I think I caught like a little bit of like other things have been difficult, or did I misunderstand that? And if I didn't, would you like to elaborate? You don't have to, but some other challenges that you've hit snags on, or?
I have had recently like a problem with like with character artists and not disclosing the use of AI, and paying a bunch of money and then finding out later that it's AI.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yeah, that's been the problem for me. That's been my issue. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Mm. It's happened like once or twice. One.
No way.
Yeah, it's bad. Oh. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just like a small town Texas gullible girl or whatever it is. But like, I don't know. I don't trust people too much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know.
Is this character art that you like commissioned yourself or through the... Okay. Oh, dang.
Oh, no. I've paid like lots of money for it. And then and then people are like, hey, you realize that this is AI, right? And I'm like, no, what do you mean? So yeah, it's been fun.
Sorry, I'm so interested in. Sorry, Brandon, I'm gonna keep. Oh, if you're okay with it.
Yeah.
So obviously, I don't want to throw anyone under the public bus here, so we'll refrain. But was this someone that you saw on Instagram that was like a really well known artist, or like someone that was recommended to you, or like, you know? And if so, like when you eventually posted it, or it was posted, did people that had already been spurned by this person come to you, or did they just point it out? Like, can you describe more about how you found out like that?
So this person had like a fairly large following. I can't remember if I found them on Threads or Instagram. I don't remember which one. Mm-hmm. But they had like a fairly large following. Like, we're talking like 10,000 plus people. Like, it's little. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a little account with like 500 followers and like all kinds of stuff, you know? And then they had like speed paints and stuff like that, like proof that they do all the things, you know, themselves, you know, that kind of thing. And so like, I felt like I did my research and, you know, reached out to them. And when they had told me like their price for it, like it wasn't like a very small amount either. Like, it was very like standard, I feel like, for what people ask for. You know what I mean? Like, nothing seemed out of the ordinary to me. And so whenever I finally like shared the art, I actually had another artist reach out to me and was like, hey, just so you know, this person used to go by this name and they were proven to be using AI and they're still doing it under a different name. Yeah, it was great. Loved it.
Did you ask for your money back? Did you go to them? Did you?
Well, so one of the things that I have learned is that never, ever, ever do a wire transfer. Because that's a big red flag, apparently. I had no idea. Do it through PayPal. PayPal will give you your money back. A wire transfer, your bank will say, ha, 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 good luck. Yeah.
Got it.
I will say most artists, I've worked with a few artists, and most legitimate ones I've used are okay with PayPal. So if like you find someone who's like, no PayPal
and
or whatever.
Really great artists too. Like a lot of like very nice artists, you know, who don't use AI, who are really nice. And a lot of them, you know, kind of came to me afterwards and they're like, hey, if you ever like want to like go with somebody new and you need somebody to like vet them, like send them over to me. Like, I'll check them out, you know, make sure that it, you know, that they're good. And I'm like, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Didn't know that I was a thing.
Yeah. I've commissioned art from one person who I adore and, you know, they've got a following as well, but it was nice because we chatted over Instagram and then I got sent like an invoice and I paid half first and then half upon completion. So at least like if I hated it, they still kind of got paid for their time. And if not, that's like actually maybe a good topic, Brandon, is choosing artists for a future podcast because that's such valuable, unfortunately, lessons you had to learn. But maybe newbies might not know of like... Yeah, in this day and age of people using AI for literally everything and getting away with it, you know.
And I feel like normally I'm like pretty okay about, you know, figuring out what's AI, what's not AI. And like, I literally had no idea. I was like, oh yeah, it looks great.
Yeah. Dang, that's crazy. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. That sucks. Okay. That is a tough learning curve. It's for sure.
But yes, a lesson that I will not forget.
You're like, you have just like a group of friends that you're like, vet them immediately. I need to know everything. So,
and I felt so bad because I was literally so happy with it that I was sending this artist to all of my author friends. No. I was like, you got it. Because they were like, oh my God, I love it. Because I was showing them the preliminary, you know, kind mm-hmm. of sketches and stuff yeah. like that. And they're like, oh my God, I really love them. Like, they're really nice. You know, they're like a, you know, standard kind of price. Like, it's really like, I like working with them. And then I had to go back to every single one of them and like, hey, mm-hmm. by the way, like, I really hope you didn't spend your money with them. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's like the point of community though, is to just like spread the word.
Yeah.
Help make sure no one else makes the same mistake, you know. But yeah, it's like harder and harder to tell sometimes, especially with art, you know. You're yes. like, oh, especially if it's assisted, like not completely AI, but like
yeah,
like slightly yeah. edited or color graded or whatever. I mean, it's just yeah, it's rough world.
Yeah, and people do like crazy things with like Photoshop and Canva and mm-hmm. all kinds of things I can never do in my wildest dreams. So like, sure. who am I to tell?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
this right. is so strange.
They're just taking advantage of other artists, which is crazy. Because you're like, I'm a creative crazy. Too. Like, what the yeah. hell? Are
like,
you
we're
doing?
Here to help each other out.
Right? Like, no, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, shifting away from AI tragedies a little bit here. this is a staple question we like to ask all of our guests because everyone always has an interesting answer to this one. So mm-hmm. I want to hear, Lily, from you, what the best writing advice you've ever received is, and then the flip side of that, what the worst writing advice you've ever received is, if you can think of any.
I can think of some. The best writing advice that I've received is probably like, find your people. Like, find other creatives that you can work with that will, you know, help you improve your writing craft. I feel like that is the most beneficial because how are we to grow when we don't know what we're doing, frankly? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just nice to kind of get outside perspective from other people that are there to be helpful, you know, not hurtful. There's a big difference between helpful and hurtful, so. And then I think that the worst writing advice, and people may not agree with this, and that's totally fine. I think the worst advice is when people are like, you have to write every single day. And I don't know. I feel like that's just really unrealistic for some people. Now, granted, I don't think that like people should, you know, if you're in a writing slump and then you're like, I'm just going to push it off. Like, I think you need to like, you know, be going and, you know, push your own boundaries, you know, that kind of thing. But to say that you're a horrible writer if you don't write down one thing every single day, I think is just baloney.
Yeah, that's something that Brandon and I have talked a lot about on the podcast, is kind of like our own schedules and our own kind of like writing practices. I think he and I have really, I think Brandon, and I don't want to speak for you, you've kind of found like a good groove and like a kind of a thing that's worked for you. And I have also kind of narrowed down exactly like how I should be working. And yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to, again, don't want to speak for you, Brandon, but you're pretty much like a wake up and at least get some stuff down every day, right? Or did
I miss that? Yeah. So my timeline has shifted. So I used to be very much wake up, do it in the morning. Right now, my workouts are taking up more time in the morning, so I've had to shift it to later in the day, but it's still kind of a daily thing for me, like after work and after things have quieted down and stuff before I turn on the TV or something. I'll get some words down. Not every day, but I try to do it like at least 5 days in the week.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to find what works best for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're somebody that, you know, thrives on writing, you know, every day or most days, and that really works for you, then yeah, like absolutely do it. But also if like you're killing yourself and you're, you know, thinking that you're a horrible writer because you can't meet these expectations that somebody else set for you, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's, you know, that's a little bit unrealistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I totally agree about the writing every day. I think for some people it works, like you were saying, yeah. but I think in the industry you do kind of hear like, you, if you don't, you're not wanting it hard enough if you're not doing it every day. Like, your passion and your love is not equitable to the dream if you're not grinding. But these are usually coming from people who are already authors, and that's their whole job, you know.
And they do it full time, and they have time to do it full time. And a lot of us just don't.
Right. Yeah, it's just not. And some people do it, and it's great, and I love it, and they are way more driven, I guess, than I am. But we live in a capitalist society where we have to work, and then social life, and exercising, and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, sometimes that advice is not conducive to our lives. So thank you for that reminder. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I think a lot of times when someone gives out writing advice, even if I don't necessarily agree with the advice, I try to look at like what the, I guess, the principle they're trying to share is. And with that one, I feel like it's more about being consistent than writing every day. Like, I think the we get lost in the technicalities sometimes, where it's like, okay, but is the like, is what you're saying, you really need to write every day, or you need to write consistently? And I think consistency is far more important than actually doing something every day, right? Like, if you have a good routine that works for you, like you, both of you said, it doesn't really matter what the cadence of that is, as long as it's consistent and it's something you can keep up long term.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Lily. Go ahead.
You know, I feel like a lot of us take things very literally too. So when somebody says, you know, you have to write every day, you know, I think you make a very good point. Like, being consistent and like showing up for yourself, you know, to be able to do this, I think that's the takeaway from it.
Yeah, totally.
And like you were saying, Lily, like knowing when to push yourself. Like, sometimes we do need to give ourselves breaks, but in other situations, we have to have the discipline to just say, okay, like, I actually have the time, and I, even though I don't feel like writing, this is going to help me. So I need to at least get something down or do something related. So yeah, I think that's one thing that we don't really talk enough about in the creative practice, is just like when discipline and self-care, like, obviously every situation is going to be different, so this is broad swathing it, but you know, sometimes you have to push through the whatever you're going through and just be like, no, I have to do this. Like, I need, there's no excuse kind of a mentality. While also, yeah, if you're having like a mental health crisis, maybe writing is not your priority, or something happens. But, you know, I think in our like self-care culture right now, or like, you know, very much like therapy heavy speak that's kind of coming up in the culture, it's like, no, but sometimes you have to be a little hard on yourself. Sometimes you need to be a little firm. Because if you're like me, you're lazy, and then I'll just not get anything done ever.
Me too.
All right. Okay, this is a good one. So you're published, you're all done. How have you handled, or do you handle, negative criticism, feedback, etc.? Talk to us about that.
I think it's important to understand where the feedback is coming from. Like, if it's coming from a good place, you know, if you, you know, constructive criticism, stuff like that, I think it's okay to feel maybe like a little bit butthurt for a moment, and then kind of like woosah, and then maybe take what they're saying and kind of, you know, enact on that, because they're trying to help you. You know what I mean? If it's coming from a negative place that has no, you know, constructive meaning to it at all whatsoever, maybe just let it slide. Maybe just throw it away and never think about it ever again. Of course, famous last words right there. but I think it's just important that, you know, we just differentiate that, you know, because like, yes, you know, reviews are for reader spaces, but I think it's unrealistic to think that you're never going to come across it as an author. You know, one way or another, you're going to end up seeing it, whether you're stalking them or it comes, you know, to you, you know, organically. And you're just going to have to either prepare yourself to receive that negative criticism, or, you know, phone a friend and be like, I need you to filter this stuff out for me.
It's like that. I don't know. You guys probably are. I watch South Park, and there's like an episode where Butters has to like filter Cartman's hate comments, and he's like up all night, and he gives him a report at the end of the day, and is like,
I don't know. I haven't seen this episode, but it sounds hilarious.
It's so good. It's like, yeah, he just receives a slew of hate comments, and then Cartman eventually like hires Butters to just filter out all the negative, and then Butters ends up doing that for other people, like other people on social media. It's very funny. But yeah, are you someone who like reads your Goodreads reviews or like looks? Like, where are you with that?
Is it wrong if I say yes?
No. I don't think we've had anyone really who's done, like, I think we've had one or two people who say that they'll look at their stars, but I don't think we've had anyone who's, like, at least admitted that they go.
Yeah, they tend to be more in the I don't like to look camp for the most part.
I'm a nosy person.
Love that. Love it.
But I also think that it's helpful, too, right? I think, you know, both the goods and the bads, you know, are helpful in a way. You know, obviously with the goods, I mean, it's kind of like people do your marketing for you almost, and they pick out, you know, things that they really love that you would have never considered before. And you're like, oh, like maybe I can like use this, you know, for my marketing. Or when somebody has like a not so good review, sometimes that could be used for marketing too. You know, sometimes your book just doesn't reach the right audience, and that's okay. And so sometimes I can't remember who it was. I think it was Rebecca Thornegan, and she had a review, like a 1-star review. It was like there were too many lesbians in the book, or you know, something ridiculous like that. And then like her next book, the dedication page was like, I added more lesbians just for you. And like, like a great like tool, you know what I mean? Like that is like what a great way to like spin like such like a negative, you know, reaction to something that's positive, you know what I mean? And then I also think too that, you know, negative reviews can be kind of helpful for your own writing sometimes. I don't know.
I agree. I kind of agree with you in that. Brandon, I don't know if you as well, but yeah, I think it's good if someone's like, oh, this is a 3-star, this is why I didn't like it. It's like, so the plot potentially needs to be a little less dense, or there are some benefits I think to sometimes getting some.
I think so too. Not saying I want to be tagged in any of the negative reviews, but like let's not do that. I don't want to be like surprised. Like whenever I open like the Goodreads app, I'm like it's gonna be okay. Like whatever shows up on the screen is gonna be fine.
Right.
Like I have like a little bit of control over it.
Love that.
Well, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. We know that you have your debut, A Kingdom of Silver Shadows, out now. So anyone who wants to pick that up should go do so. But what I imagine, like many other writers, you are working on many other things. So tell us a little bit about current projects and what readers can expect from you going forward.
Right now, I have been in a bit of a writing slump just because I was going like so hard at it. I mean, I was editing like every single day for probably like 4 or 5 months straight. Like it was just, and then I have, you know, a full-time job on top of that, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just a lot. So I've been just kind of taking a break. But recently, like this weekend recently, I've kind of been feeling like that creative kind of curve kind of coming back in. So right now I'm working on book 2, because my mom has threatened me that if I don't give her the next book soon, that she's going to riot. So I'm like, all right, I'll do that.
I love that. So you're a little champion.
Most of that's written. It's just really bad. And then I'm trying to like write out the ending and stuff like that. And then, you know, like it's just the first drafts are to get the ideas, right? Like they're just going to be bad. And then I was toying around with like this other little idea. I honestly don't know where I'm going with it. Like I'll have like a little, like a conversation in my head. And I'm like, that'd be really good in a book. And like, I'll like write down like the little idea or like the little like scene that I think of. And then I'll try to make a book out of it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think with this one, I'm going to have like death as the main character, but it's going to be like a she death kind of thing. I think that'd be kind of fun, you know, kind of mix it up a little bit. I don't know.
Very Sandman-esque. I dig it. You should.
No. Yes. Yes. So we'll see if anything actually comes to light of it. I don't know.
That's great. All right, this is one of my favorite questions. If you could read any book for the first time again, what would that be?
This is going to sound like so out of pocket. But and nobody judge me for what I'm about to say. If I could read any book for the first time again, it's going to be, okay, it's either going to be the Mindfuck series by S.T. Abbey. Oh my God. When I binged that. They're like five novellas, and I binged it in 2 days. Dang. Like, it was so good. Like, I loved it. Or it would be either, like, Butcher and Blackbird or Scythe and Sparrow by Brett Beater. Like, I just love both of those books because they're both something that I've never read before. And it was, when I read them, I was like, this is, like, the best thing this best thing ever. So probably be between those.
That's great. I would never have expected you to say those. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I'm like, this is going to sound so weird, but this is where we're at.
I love that question because everyone always has such like a unique answer. No, I've never heard the same answer twice for these. So
yeah. No, oh, it's great.
Wait, what are yours?
Oh, mine's boring. I always say either A Game of Thrones or The Blade itself, just because those are the books that like reignited my love for fantasy, and it'd be nice to experience them again for the first time, but kind of a boring answer. What was yours, Ash?
Mine's Aberrat by Clive Barker. Mm-hmm. It's like his young adult series. If you've never heard of it, would highly recommend. Mm-hmm. He also did Hellraiser back in the day and a bunch of other. And it's essentially about a young girl who gets whisked away to a different world where every island is a different hour of the day. And there are all these like crazy wild magical creatures, and he paints all of them. So there's like art in the book. And I love the characters. I love the relationships. It's very dark, but very whimsical at the same time. So yeah, that's what I would reread. It scared the crap out of my brother when I read it to him as a kid. And he's like, to this day, he's like, I don't know why you read that to me. I was like 9 and I was like, I thought it was age appropriate. It's
so good. Okay, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. I haven't listened to the audiobook, but I don't know. There's just something about it. It's like you read it and you genuinely, I felt that my like world and my perspective on like literature and reading and fantasy like shifted. Like I just remember it being a moment that I was like, this is changing my brain chemistry. Would recommend.
And then here my answers was like...
It's like the childhood stuff. There are some like, so the book that I just finished, The Beast That Slinks Towards Beijing, was genuinely like not a book that I would normally pick up, but the description I thought was very different than what the actual book was. And that is a book that I'm like going to recommend forever and ever. It was just so good. And I wish it's those ones that you're like, even in a modern context, you're like, no, I want to reread that. And I love it so much. So, yeah.
I love that.
Well, thanks so much, Lily, for giving us your time. This is the part of the show where I open the floor to the audience and to you. If you have any thoughts or topics we didn't touch on that you want to discuss or any advice you want to share to aspiring writers out there, now is kind of your time to do so. I don't see anyone active in the chat at the moment, so I don't anticipate any questions, but I'll let you know if any come through.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for inviting me onto this. When you reached out to me, I was like, oh my God.
Why not? Is this my
point? Have I made it?
No, that's excellent. We're hoping to continue these. I think we've got just maybe one or two inquiries coming next year, but these last few months we've really got some good interviews and a good variety of authors too, so hoping to kind of continue the trajectory forward, do some fun stuff next year. It's coming up on year two next year, isn't it?
I think this, it's hard because we started like in the middle of a year, so I gotta like go back and check when our first episode was uploaded.
Like mid 2024. Am I wrong? Like, am I fully making things up? I swear.
No, I need to check because I don't want to put real out.
Time. I'll go on
Yeah.
Spotify. Let's see. Here, you're along for the ride, Lily. Sorry.
Yeah, you gotta know. I mean, I'm just
this episode was published March 28th, 2024. That was episode one.
Yeah. Oh. We're coming up on 2 years in March. It's pretty crazy.
So you're going to do something special for your 2 years then?
No.
Yeah, I got to think of what it is. Maybe we can secure like a big interview or something. That would be awesome. But
Yeah, I want to get into like interviewing like local owners of like indie bookstores and stuff.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Do you have any, here's a follow-up. Do you have any book signings and stuff coming up locally, or are you like on that trajectory, or is it kind of just quiet for the moment?
I did a couple in November when like the book was first released. Like we went to a couple of indie bookstores, which was so fun. Oh my God.
That's great.
It was like back to back. And I was like, can I like do this like every single day for the rest of my life? Like this was really fun.
That's awesome.
And then they have, so I'm in like Central Texas. Mm-hmm. So Dallas has a Get Lit book fair every month. And I'm looking to do one of those with one of my friends, because I like to do things with buddies. I'm like, I don't want to do it by myself.
Yeah.
I want to do it right. So we're looking to do one of those hopefully in like January, February. And then I am actually one of the authors in the Dreamers and Readers Festival in Grapevine, Texas in March for the Fantastic Collection.
Fun. That's exciting. So people can know where to keep an eye out and see.
Yes. It's the information's like on my website, and I have it posted on my Instagram, I think. It's somewhere. It's definitely out in the universe.
They'll find it. They'll have to hunt for it. That's kind of fun. Just like go figure it's like out. A treasure. I'm gonna be there. Yeah. Great.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it, guys, for this episode of Quill and Query. So again, Lily, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us all about your writing process and your debut. I'll be sure to link that in the description for everybody as well if they want to check it out. I mean, it's available on Amazon, right? So.
Yep. It's available on Amazon. It's on Kindle Unlimited. It's available through Barnes & Noble, through Books A Million, and through the Counterpoise Press website too. And is also linked on my socials and my website.
Perfect. Well, like I said, if anyone wants to pick that up or follow Lily, her links will be in the description along with mine and Ash's as always. I think that's going to be it. Ash, any thoughts for everybody before we sign off?
No, as usual, this was really lovely. And next time when your sequel comes out, we'll have to have you on and see if any of your answers have changed since now.
Yeah, pick like a different like a read again book.
Ooh, yeah, maybe that'll change. You never know.
Hey. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Good to have you on. Have a night. Just have a night.
Have a night. Yeah.
And that's it for me today.
Good month.
Bye, y'all. See you.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.